Support for WPR comes from Doulaing the Doula. With birth and postpartum training and certification programs for all levels of learning, from medical professionals to interested humans. More is at doulaworkshop.com.
Support for WPR comes from Fragrant Isle Lavender Farm and Shop in Door County, where visitors can experience nature amongst the lavender fields with 20,000 lavender plants. Open 10 to 5. FragrantIsle.com, a magical place.
So can you canoe or kayak? Where are some of the best places to paddle? Why do you like this form of recreation? And what do you, what advice do you have for someone like me who's planning her first ever two-day Wisconsin River paddle this weekend, which includes an overnight camping trip on a sandbar? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August 26th. We will talk with a travel writer who enjoys paddling about some of the best rivers to paddle in Wisconsin and nearby. And we'll also get some safety tips from a paddling expert a little later in the show. And I look forward to your thoughts during this paddling edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Beth Gopper. She is the editor of MidwestWeekends.com. She recently wrote the pieces 15 Great Rivers for Paddling and Planning a Paddle Trip. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, good to have you back on the show. So what do you like about paddling down a river?
Well, there's really nothing better you can do on a nice, warm summer day. So I'm glad to hear you're going on a paddle trip. I'm sure you'll have a great time.
I hope so. Here's my deal. My husband and I, this is more than 25 years ago. We got into a canoe on Lake Wingra in Madison. It was a very windy day. And we went crashing into the shoreline, and we struggled to get back to, you know, to the dock. It was just, I was yelling when I usually don't yell, and he was more inexperienced than I, and I'm not very experienced. And so it was kind of a miserable trip, and we haven't been back in a canoe since. So now we're going to do it.
Well, you know, that canoes can be challenging to relationships, especially if the man in the back is trying to prove how strong he is, and that's why you go off to one side, because the person in the back steers. So if you have that problem again, the simple solution is you sit in the back.
Right, and that is, I was the more experienced. I knew a little bit about how to steer, and I should have been in the back. However, what we're going to do this time is we are going with some very experienced paddlers, and we are going to be in separate canoes. I thought that was a good compromise.
Yes, I think one reason women get into kayaks in their later years is because they want to steer.
Interesting, because we're also going to have we're going to get two canoes and a kayak, and I think we'll be switching around a little bit. So I am looking forward to it. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I hope it'll be a lot of fun. But in general, what makes this appealing? I mean, there's a lot of nice things you can do on a summer day, but why paddle?
Well, you know, I like rivers because you're going somewhere. It's a highway. I mean, it's a highway that once was used by the Ojibwe, by, you know, it's used by hunters, it's used by bird watchers, and you see things along the way. You see, depending on how good your eyes are, you'll see lots of turtles along a river. You'll see deer. You'll see towns. You'll see other people. Lake paddling is fun, but like you say, the wind does affect lake paddling quite a bit, and it may affect the river, but it's going to push you somewhere.
Yeah.
So you hope in your direction.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what a lot of people are saying. we're going to be going along with the current, so we're not going to be fighting the current.
Right.
We could conceivably be fighting a wind, but it sounds like it'll be, I'm looking forward to it. Would you say that late summer is okay for paddling?
You know, the interesting thing about late summer is generally I really like it because the water is usually lower and you can just see more. We were on the Namekagon in late July, and that's a time when it also should be much lower and more clear, and instead it had just rained. So it was very high, and I thought, well, what's different about this from the first time I was on it? And the water was murkier because of the rains, and it was higher. You couldn't see as much.
Yeah.
There were not as many, not as many turtles, for example. You went a lot faster. So in the summer, you go slower. You may have to get out of your canoe and push yourself over some rocks. However, Joy, this is not the case in Wisconsin this weekend because you just had a lot of rains this week, and the Wisconsin River is supposed to be quite high. So when the rivers are high, you need to be a lot more careful that you don't get pushed into tree branches or an overturned tree. That's pretty dangerous. It's a lot more dangerous than rapids. And you really have to watch out for those sandbars on the Wisconsin River because, for one thing, they don't exist when the water is high, so you don't have a place to camp. And they can also collapse if you're on the edges of them. And I think it was last year, the year before, a father and his son drowned.
Yeah, there's a few drownings sometimes with
that. You really can't let your guard down just because it's late summer, because the rains can really make the rivers fast.
Yeah. Well, talk some about the Wisconsin River is generally a favorite place of many, to especially the lower Wisconsin, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yeah, I follow along on the Wisconsin Outdoor Report. And that is a really good way to get an overview for what the recreation opportunities are in Wisconsin, because it comes out on Thursday, and it will tell you how fast the rivers are running, and also, which wildflowers are blooming, what fish are biting, what the wildlife, are doing, the fawns and the turkey and et cetera. So I like to look at that. And now I forget what I was talking about.
Wait, we were just talking about looking at that resource. Talk about some other resource. What is the name of that resource again?
Oh, it's the DNR's Wisconsin Outdoor Report.
Okay.
So that's a good way to kind of get an overview. So you don't just plunge into an area and have no idea, what the weather has been. But going with an outfitter is a good idea, especially if you're a beginner. It's a great idea.
Yeah, we are going to go with an outfitter, and I'm going with my niece, her boyfriend, and my brother-in-law, and my husband. My brother-in-law and niece and her boyfriend are very, very experienced paddlers, and they know what they're doing. They've been to boundary waters and the whole thing, and so and campers, they're experienced campers. But I'm still kind of thinking about the high water on the Wisconsin and fewer sandbars to camp on. I guess we might be camping in the canoe. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens there, and I'll get more advice on that from from another guest coming up after the news. But let's talk about some of your favorite rivers to paddle. You wrote a piece this summer, 15 Great Rivers for Paddling. One of them was the Brule in northwestern Wisconsin. That one is your favorite place so far?
Yeah, I suppose that and the Namekagon. The Brule is one of many Brule rivers. There's Michigan's Brule and Minnesota's Brule. Sometimes it's called the Bois Brule for Burntwood. The interesting thing about that river, you asked me, why I like rivers, because it was used by five presidents in the last, century and a half. It's lined by these boathouses that you just don't see anymore. They're turn-of-the-century boathouses. Quite rich people lived along them. For example, the Ordways of 3M in Minnesota have a compound there even today. And there's a conservancy along the river that the landowners join to not change it. So you don't see any McMansions along it. In addition, it's part of a state forest. And when we were there, there was a warden who just popped up along the whole 12 miles of our route, checking to make sure people did not have unsecured lunches, for example, in their canoe that would spread everywhere if it tipped, didn't have glass bottles, He really was keeping tight reins on this, and there's no litter for that reason.
Ah.
There were no drunk people, and it was very, very pleasant. So, and I like the Namekagon for the same reason. It's part of the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, so it's wild. You do, when we were there a month ago, we did see a lot of people tubing, which I hadn't seen before. But the first time I was on the Namekagon, and it was so clear that I was swimming in it with my goggles and snorkel ahead of the canoe, and I found a $20 bill.
Oh, wow. That's got to be good luck. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we're going to continue talking about paddling on this paddling edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Right now we're talking with our guest, Beth Gopper, who is the editor of MidwestWeekends.com. She's written a couple of pieces on great rivers for paddling in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa. We'll get to some more great rivers to paddle. We'll also welcome in a paddling expert who will have some specific tips for me with this lower Wisconsin river paddle that I'm planning this weekend. And we welcome your questions and your suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
What's around the river bend? Waiting just around the river bend.
We are talking about paddling on this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, and we're welcoming your favorite places to go canoeing or kayaking in Wisconsin or nearby states. Why do you like to paddle? And do you have any suggestions or advice? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have been talking with Beth Gopper, who is the editor of MidwestWeekends.com. She recently wrote pieces, 15 Great Rivers for Paddling and Planning a Paddle Trip. We have both of those posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. But we also welcome a second guest, very happy to have with us, Timothy Bauer, co-author of MilesPaddled.com, a trekking journal for a collective of amateur paddlers. They document their travels on rivers and creeks, primarily in southern Wisconsin. He is also the author of Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. Good morning, Timothy.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And Beth, we'll have you stay with us, too, and you can chime in as callers call in with questions and different ideas. You know, I just was looking at the weather forecast, and this kind of bums me out a little bit. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely. So I don't really think I want to be canoeing on the Wisconsin River during a thunderstorm, do I, Timothy?
Ideally, not so much. It really depends on how well prepared and packed you are. There's nothing wrong with being on the water if it's a light, misty rain. And in fact, many of us would argue that there's a type of beauty about doing that. If it's thunder and lightning, however, you don't want to be on the water. And if there is a risk of significant rain, I'd say anything from half an inch to certainly 2 inches or higher, then you definitely don't want to be on any river, really, but especially if you're considering camping on it.
Yeah.
Because the water will rise, and it rises faster than you think. So that just depends. But if you're just going for a lackadaisical day trip on a misty, rainy afternoon, there's a type of prettiness about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind even a very light rain or mist. But if I'm if we're doing this through an outfitter, I'm assuming that this outfitter might also say, you know what, it's too dangerous to go out. Am I assuming correctly?
Well, I would hope so. I can't speak on behalf of every outfitter, of course, but they this is their business, and I would think that they know the safety concerns for their clientele and wouldn't ethically put anyone in harm's way. It probably just depends, honestly, on the outfitter. It would be something that it behooves you to know the forecast and the potential for conditions ahead of time, and then ask them, ask those questions to the outfitter to see what they think. Because they're going to know the area better than you 9 out of 10 times, and they'll probably know the river and its behavior in certain types of weather.
So if it is the Wisconsin River from Lone Rock to Boscobel, and...
great section, by the way.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad. And I didn't pick it on my own. My much more experienced niece paddler picked it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to be, we're planning an overnight on a sandbar. And so this is all new to me. And
yeah.
I'm glad I'm going with experienced people. But here's Jerry on Facebook who says, I once paddled and camped the Wisconsin River. We decided to camp on a sandbar at Portage, and we had a wonderful time. But we woke to the rising river water at our tent's door. Oh, my goodness. So he shares.
I feel Jerry's pain. I've been in that situation exactly myself with the camping on a sandbar on the Wisconsin, actually near by you, or the trip you'll be doing a couple of years ago. And it was not a prudent time to paddle, frankly. We knew that there was going to be a pretty good risk of thunderstorms later on. The evening of the first day that we traveled, and indeed there were. It rained all night, and the river did rise. But we had a contingency plan before everything, before the rain really started to come down in earnest. We got lucky in the sense that the rain or the river came up about 2 feet from our tent.
Wow.
I'm not saying this to scare you or anything. It's just something to be aware of. The Wisconsin does rise. In no small reason, because the water from the Wisconsin River is coming from so many different other streams north of wherever you're paddling. I mean, it's the major river in Wisconsin, and it drains, I forget exactly how much, but probably about a third of the state's rivers. So whatever rain is happening up in Rhinelander or Merrill or Wausau or Wisconsin Rapids, that all eventually comes down to the lower Wisconsin, too. So it's not just rain that happens in your area. It's what's also happening upstream. A lot of that is controlled by the many dams on the Wisconsin River, but it's also just one of those factors to keep in mind.
Yeah. Jerry goes on to say his tip was pick the high ground when camping on a bar and know when they are planning a water release upriver. So some entities might release water upriver?
That's true. For our sake down in this neck of the woods, the last dam on the Wisconsin River is in Prairie du Sac.
Okay.
And they do release water probably on a periodic schedule. It may fluctuate depending on the rain levels upriver. And we've had a very rainy summer so far, so the water is higher than it normally is. There is a phone number. I don't have it off the top of my head, unfortunately, but there is a phone number you can call for the dam in Prairie du Sac that gives you the dam release information or the schedule. So you can plan it in that regard.
What should I do, or what should someone do, if unexpectedly a thunderstorm pops up while you are paddling? You're in the middle of the river, and kaboom! What do you do?
It's funny you ask this, because my partner and I were in this exact same scenario only 3 weeks ago on a river, the Little Platte River, out southwestern Wisconsin. And it was a gamble. We knew that there was a chance that we would run into some foul weather, and we did. So after a couple rumbles of thunder that we couldn't deny anymore were actually happening, and it wasn't just rapids or scratching on rocks, we decided to make an exit strategy, and we chose the next available bridge to do an emergency takeout. And it was a little bit of a hassle, but it was, of course, the safe, responsible thing to do. And so we had to cut our trip short. That we were lucky in the sense that we were in a relatively developed area so that there were bridges evenly spaced out. If you were on a larger river, such as the Wisconsin, and the bridges were fewer and farther between, you would probably just try to find the nearest bank on the side of the river, not really on a sandbar island, because then you'd be more exposed, and just try to find the safest place where you're not the tallest thing, and ideally you're not trespassing on someone else's property, and just to wait the storm out if you can. Again, this is bearing in mind that you would have checked the weather forecast beforehand.
Yeah.
Maybe would have chosen that. Today is maybe not the best day to go out paddling.
We are talking with Timothy Bauer, who is the author of Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison, and Beth Gopper, who is the editor of MidwestWeekends.com, who recently wrote the pieces 15 Great Rivers for Paddling and Planning a Paddle Trip. And we're welcoming your questions for both of our guests. We are welcoming your favorite places to paddle. Why do you like to canoe or kayak? And where do you go to canoe or kayak? Maybe you also have some advice for a novice like me who's planning her first canoeing trip down the Wisconsin River. It's actually going to be an overnight, we hope, on a sandbar. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Marcus in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. What, you have a suggestion?
Well, I have two things. Number one, I recommend a good pair of padded palm biking gloves where it has the fingertips cut off. I went on a trip up through the Boundary Waters, and by the time we got to the second and third day, for most of us, we all had pretty good blisters on our palms. So that would be my tip for, you know, where you're doing multiple days, just because paddling with blisters becomes pretty difficult.
Oh, what a great idea, Marcus. I thought about whether I should have gloves or not, because I've had blisters before when just doing an hour of kayaking, you know?
Right. Mm. I definitely recommend it. The second thing, my brother and I were on the Wisconsin River, and we actually had a storm crop up on us. And so we ended up where we pulled off onto the bank and just pulled the canoe up onto the shore. It happened to be private property. However, the woman and the gentleman who had the house noticed us out in the rain under their tree, and he walked out with an umbrella and said, "Hey guys, you want to come in and have lunch?" And we were served a nice lunch, which was a really pleasant surprise.
I love that. I really do. So just the people in the Midwest and in Wisconsin are so kind. That is so nice. And then once the storm passed, you went on your merry way, Marcus?
Yeah, we continued, and it was a three-day trip that him and I had planned, and we finished and pulled out at the end, and it was fantastic. We had a blast.
Thank you so much. So let's first off, what about those padded biking gloves? Timothy, any thoughts on that?
That's a good idea, especially in conditions like the Boundary Waters, where you're going to be doing lake paddling, which is going to be a more rigorous type of paddling than downriver with the current of a stream. And in the Boundary Waters, you're typically going for anywhere from 2-3 days to 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I myself just came back from there a month ago with a group of friends. So padded gloves, like the bicycle type, are definitely a good idea. There's also a product, I believe it's called Yak Grips, like kayak grips, that are basically mimic what a padded glove would do. It's sort of a cushy sleeve that goes around the shaft of the paddle itself. So there are two of them, one for each hand, basically. And that is another sensible accessory to have, just to keep your hands comfortable, because they are going to be your main driver for paddling, and you want to avoid any type of blisters. It's never a bad idea to bring some type of first aid kit, especially if you're going to go on an overnight trip of any length. And those moleskin pads with a Band-Aid really go a long way to preventing blisters from becoming your worst nemesis.
Yeah. Do you, Beth, wear gloves?
No, I don't, but it's a great idea.
Yeah.
One thing I could recommend just for your comfort is a chair, a stiff-backed chair that you can put on your seat because your back gets a little sore.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. And in fact, I know that my colleagues are going to bring little tiny camping chairs, too, things that I don't even think of, you know, so that when we're on the sandbar, we don't have to sit on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you have what other attire suggestions do you have, Beth? People are telling me, the wide-brimmed hat is a must and things like that.
Yeah, definitely, because the sun is going to beat down on the back of your neck in particular. Sometimes, since I like to swim in rivers, I like to bring I guess you'd call it a kayaking top. It doesn't need to be a kayaking top, but like a nylon shirt that has a little mock turtleneck to protect your neck. And it's kind of like snorkeling. Your back gets very fried by the sun.
Yeah, I guess I have to have plenty of sunscreen, too, huh?
Yes, definitely. And then water shoes are kind of nice, too, because then you don't have to worry about your sneakers getting wet. You're probably not going to be able to hop from your canoe straight onto the bank. Your feet will get wet, so wear some Keen Water sandals or Tevas or whatever.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you. I guess I didn't even think of that, so I should. but I know that we have also... Timothy, dry bags, other things I don't think about, but my experienced partners are going to, you put all your stuff in a dry bag, so when you capsize, or if you capsize, it stays dry.
Oh, you're going to capsize eventually.
We will.
We all get dumps, just like in life, in our relationships. Eventually, we're going to get our first swim at some point. So we can't avoid it. And the best way to, you do want a dry bag. They're relatively inexpensive. There's a wide variety of them, ranging from you could buy a simple dry bag for $12, $15 to something that's more state-of-the-art, if you call a bag state-of-the-art, for $50 or so. But it's a very simple accessory of just putting your clothes or your delicate electronics inside a bag. It usually rolls up and then clips, so it's watertight. Fastening that bag to your boat also is good. If you're in an open canoe, you'd want to do that. If you're in a kayak that has a dry hatch, you just throw it in there and you don't have to really think about it. If you can't find a dry bag or just don't want to spend the money, you can double bag your garments and personal belongings inside two industrial strength garbage bags, and that does it pretty well. Not as watertight, of course, or perfect. Maybe not as elegant as a dry bag, but it suffices.
Well, I think we're going to stuff things into plastic bags and put them in the dry bag because that's how. John in Richland Center is with us. Hi, John.
Hi, Joy. You are going to have fun.
Good.
And it's going to be an adventure that I hope stays with you for your whole lifetime. I have four adventures that relate. One is my wife and I went out on Lake Michigan in a canoe. it didn't turn out good because we got about 100 feet out and the wind changed. It started blowing us out in the middle of the lake.
Oh, that's no fun. No, that sounds like my first canoe trip, which stopped us from ever doing it again, but until
we
now.
We made it back safely once we both paddled. She started by splashing water on my face and thinking it was funny. I said, "No, honey, I need your help." And then next one was on Flammable River, which is a white water. And yes, we went down Beaver Falls and tipped over. we lost control is what it was. The Lower Wisconsin. We did overnight camping on a sandbar, just like you're doing, right around Port Andrews. That's in between Boscobel and Spring Green. But we made the mistake that once we were setting up camp, we went to get some firewood. Well, my buddy Carl, who's a multimillionaire, was standing up in the back of the canoe with firewood, and it flipped over in the channel.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. And you know what, John, I'm going to have to hold you there because we have news next, and I hope that Timothy Barr can stay with us after the news to talk more about safety. Actually, I can't canoe very well, but I'm going to try this weekend. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is a paddling edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We want to know where you like to paddle in Wisconsin. Where do you canoe or kayak, and why? Why do you like paddling? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with two guests. Beth Gopper is the editor of MidwestWeekends.com. She recently wrote the pieces 15 Great Rivers for Paddling and Planning a Paddle Trip. And Timothy Bauer, who is co-author of MilesPaddled.com, a tracking journal of for a collective of amateur paddlers. They document their travels on rivers and creeks, primarily in southern Wisconsin. He's also the author of Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. We just heard from John in Richland Center, who had a number of stories to share about paddling around Wisconsin. And they all three stories seem to to share some danger, including where his friend, his co-paddler on the Wisconsin River, decided to stand up in the canoe with the firewood and apparently toppled over. Timothy, I would guess that standing up in the canoe is not a good idea.
Generally speaking, yes. I mean, we all like to goof off, and that's part of the fun of paddling, especially when you're with a group of friends. And as long as there's a minimal risk of doing that, then you know, that's fine. Horseplay is sometimes to be expected. I wouldn't do so with your source of firewood in the canoe at the time. Wet wood doesn't burn half as well as dry wood. And yes, as a general rule, stand-up canoeing, probably not the best. You'd want a gondola, I think, for that sort of thing.
We have other callers and comments, so I want to go to Jeff in Iron County now. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Joy. My favorite kayak canoe experience in Wisconsin is the Bear River to the Flambeau flowage down the North Fork of the Flambeau River. And the reason I like that trip is there's three reasons. First, if you put in on Highway 182 and go down the Bear, it's a slow meandering stream and not too wide, but always plenty deep. And right where the Bear meets the Manitouish, right below that, that forms the Flambeau River. Right below that is a huge estuary that's just full of wild rice and all kinds of eagles, ospreys, shorebirds, that kind of wildlife. Then you enter the Turtle Flambeau flowage. Now that has 60 campsites, free campsites, 15,000 acres of 95% undeveloped shoreline. Then as you cross that, you hit the North Fork of the Flambeau right at the dam. And there you experience another about 5 hours of canoeing down to Agenda Landing or Holt's Landing on the North Fork. So that trip gives you the slow meandering stream at the top, the kind of aquatico boundary waters experience through all these 200 islands and 115 miles of shoreline on the Flambeau flowage, and then the last thing, the North Fork, is up to Class 3 rapids. So you have three types of an experience in one trip.
That does sound amazing, Jeff, and I don't mean to jump in, but we're so short on time. I want Beth, bring you back. I know that the Flambeau River is on your list of 15 great rivers for paddling. Have you experienced Jeff's trip?
You know, that's on the other side of Wisconsin near Mercer, and I have paddled in the Turtle Flambeau flowage, and he's right. It's very nice. It's like a mini boundary waters. You can have pontoon boats and motor boats on it, but it is a wilderness area, and We stopped on some islands and looked at the campsites, and they were beautiful. So that's a great option for people.
Yeah. And I know, Timothy, that you have some favorite, you have lots of favorite places to canoe, but I understand around the Black River Falls area, you enjoy going there?
We really do. If we have to pick one place in the state, Black River Falls is just offers a playground of different paddling platforms, ranging from class 3-4 rapids at its friskiest, down to a 1 to 2 mile per feet gradient flow river camping experience, very comparable to the lower Wisconsin, and then everything in between. There are creeks that are 20 feet wide and meandering. There's the lower Black River itself, which is 200 feet wide and slow. There are great rock formations. There are great sandbars. So every type of paddling experience you could hope for and every type of experience level for paddlers can be found in the Black River Falls area. And you could spend, honestly, 2 weeks there paddling every day and not do the same stretch of river twice.
Excellent.
There's just so much there.
And the next place that I'd like to canoe or kayak, if we make it through this weekend, and Beth, you mentioned in your piece the Kickapoo River as a great place to go for paddling. What do you like about the Kickapoo?
Oh, the Kickapoo is so much fun. For one thing, it's shallow. So, if you do tip, you can just stand up. But the thing people like about it is that it's so twisting. So in the short distance between Ontario and Wildcat Mountain State Park, the river goes in all four directions of the compass. So you never know what you're going to see around the next bend.
Wonderful. I don't know if we only have about a minute to go. Laura in Coleman, you have a suggestion? Laura in Coleman, are you there? I guess Laura decided not to join. She just wanted to say how amazing the experience was when they did a canoe from the Dells to Portage and stayed overnight on a sandbar. Let me ask you, Timothy, I know Beth mentioned it earlier in the hour. We do have to be careful safety-wise when it comes to camping on sandbars. You want to stay well away from the shore of a sandbar?
You do. You want to drag up your boat at least 10, 15 feet away from the water's edge, because there is a chance always of the river rising in the night. Ideally, if you could find a camp site that is a little bit raised off of the river level, that'll also diminish the likelihood of waking up to water lapping near your tent. And just put all your gear in a safe spot and organize it so that it's all near one another. Flip your canoe upside down, so if it does rain, you don't collect all that rain during the night. And it's just prudence will dictate that you have a safe experience.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. You both have been a wealth of information for me and for our listeners. Thank you both very much for joining us.
You're welcome, Joanne. Have fun this weekend.
Thanks a lot. Beth Gopper, editor of MidwestWeekends.com, and Timothy Bauer, who is author of Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. Appreciate their advice, and I appreciate your advice, too. You can continue posting some, if you'd like, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's time now for Wisconsin Life. What is the best way to see Wisconsin? In a kayak. Today, Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCollum takes us to the backwaters of the Mississippi River near La Crosse to meet some dedicated paddlers.
So, welcome to Kayak Skills 1. And you're now part of my secret plan to have kayakers take over the world. Jesse Conaway from Three Rivers Outdoors of La Crosse. I'm the outdoor programs manager, and I live in West Salem, Wisconsin. I love being out on the water. It's a great way to enjoy the natural world. Okay, Yuna, take it away with paddles.
Okay, the paddle. So our paddle has two parts. My real name is Yu Ting Fu, and people call me Yuna. I'm from Taiwan. And I am living on campus UWL La Crosse. I want to be a kayak instructor and hope I can bring this back to my country.
Okay, It's the best time of day. We're launching. Get a good footing, and then we'll just scooch the bow right in the water.
John Clark, president of the local Coulee Region Kayak Club. There's so much beauty out here that what's really sad is there's so many people that are living within 1 or 2 miles from where we are that have never been down here to enjoy this or take advantage of it. And the biggest thrill I find is I get back into places out in the river and the water people can't get to if they got their regular boats. I mean, I can kayak in 2 inches of water.
Sue Russell from Stoddard, Wisconsin. It was astounding how close to the water level you are and the different perspective. It's like being a 3-year-old child at that height, the way they see the world a little bit differently than you do. And it's like that in the kayak. You just see things differently.
Kayaking is actually a great way to sneak up on wildlife. I was paddling up at the Trempealeau Wildlife Refuge, and I saw this beaver on the shore, and I paddled up to it, and it was eating cattail shoots. I mean, I stopped eventually at like 10 feet away because I didn't want to disrespect it, but it didn't even care.
It relaxes me. It's just getting away from the cell phone and the television, even music and electronic noise, and it's just hearing nature. Just listen to the birds now. It's great.
It's a great group of people to be a part of. The kayak tribe.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org and find Wisconsin Life on Facebook. Thank you for all of your paddling suggestions and stories during this hour, and thank you to producers Brianne Chasso and Nyasia Ellison. Coming up Monday at this time, we are going to talk about insomnia and find out what it is, what causes it, and options for treatment. That's from 6 until 7 on Monday morning. I'm Joy Cardine, looking forward to my canoeing adventure this weekend on the Wisconsin River. This is the Ideas Network. Sound waves on the water don't need to be amplified.